Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. In fact, I want you to bear with me because I've got some Bible I need to read, okay? Is that all right tonight? So I want you to start in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, down in verse 37. Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, down in verse 37. I want to preach tonight in a message entitled, The Gathering. The Gathering. This deals with the end times. This deals with the gathering of the Lord. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 37, and you can go ahead and find also Ezekiel, chapter 36. And Ezekiel 37, we'll float between those two chapters and we'll bring in a whole lot of stuff in between. But let's look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 37. Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem. If you have it, can you say amen? And the Bible says, and of course, these are the words of Red, these are the words of Christ, in the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left desolate unto you, or left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye say, Baruch haba, Bashim Adonai. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, if you will, look back, if you will, and it's imperative that you do this. Look back at Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 16. Ezekiel 36, verse 16. Have we got it? Amen. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. And their way has before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. And I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they were profaned my holy name. And when they said unto them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my sake, my namesake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now watch this in verse 24. And I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all country, and will bring you into your own land. I will bring you. Now, please pay attention. And we can shout over this. And this is good shouting ground for us even right now. But God is talking to Israel. He's talking to Israel here. And he says, I will take you from among the heathen. I will gather you out from all the countries and will bring you out into your own land. Chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and said, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones. And I say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews, muscle tissue upon you, and I will bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a great shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, and lo, the sinews, the muscles, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And he said, prophesy unto the wind, talk to the wind, Ezekiel, and prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith God, come out from the four winds, and O breath, upon the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said, now pay attention to verses 11 and 12. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off in our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves, and what? And bring you into the land of Israel. Amen. Praise God. There is an important reason why God is talking to the land and to the people of Israel. And it has everything to do with what's going on here. In fact, if you will notice, if you can see the thing that's going on here, that God is gathering in the midst of Israel. He's going to gather them together. He's going to gather the Gentiles together. That's us. That's the Christians. Unless you're Jewish in this place, you're Gentile. And then he's going to gather all the nations of the earth together. There is going to be a great and gathering day of the Lord. Do you believe it tonight? Amen. That God is going to gather his people together. Now listen, this is part history, part horticulture, part a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But I pray that before this is through, you ought to be able to shout over something that's said in this message. If you will, as we look back into Matthew's Gospel, chapter 37, or chapter 23, I'm looking at verse 47 again. Jesus is giving his Olivet, he's giving his discourse of the end times. He really started it at the beginning of chapter 23, but really we deal with a lot of chapter 24, and he says in these passages talking about the end times. In fact, he goes on to say in chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, that when Jesus departed from the temple, he said that there's not going to be one stone of this temple left upon each other, that it's all going to be torn down. Jesus was trying to make his people ready for the end times. I don't know if you know it or not, but we're trying to get a people ready to go up to heaven. I don't plan to stay here. I don't want to stay here. I have no desire to stay here. And we're trying to get a people ready. But how many of you understand that long before he ever touched you, he was trying to work a work in Israel? He was trying to work a work in his own people and trying to prepare them for the coming day of the Lord. Amen. Watch this, because here is the thing, that Jerusalem has denied their Lord and their Savior. This is why Jesus cries and Jesus laments over Jerusalem. They have denied their Lord and their Savior. At one minute, during the beginning of the Passion Week, during the triumphal entry, you see them with the palm branches in their hands, and they are rejoicing around Jesus. What are they saying? Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna. Do you understand what this means? That long before, and we'll get to a picture of the flag in a minute, but long before Israel as a nation had the flag with the Star of David, that the national symbol of Israel was the palm branch, and they were waving the palm branches, and they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. You know what they were saying? Here comes the King. Here comes the King. Here comes the King. And they were rejoicing in the King. And not a week later, they're crying out, crucify him. Crucify. Crucify. Oh, who do you want us to release unto you? Do you want us to release unto you Barabbas, the killer, the murderer? Or do you want us to release Jesus? Oh, crucify him, murder him. They have rejected their Lord
and their Savior. They had cried out unto them, crucify him. We don't want him around. We don't want to deal with him. We want him gone. Crucify him. That Israel had rejected their Lord and their Master. And in the midst of the chapter that I read to you in chapter 23, Jesus is talking at the temple. He's standing at the temple, and he is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and the hypocrites, is what Jesus would call them. And he is telling them in chapter 23, I sent you prophet after prophet after prophet. I sent you Isaiah. I sent you Jeremiah. I sent you Ezekiel. I sent you prophet after prophet after prophet. And you killed every single one of them. You had them destroyed. And if you didn't kill them, you still wouldn't listen to them. You wouldn't listen to what they said. You wouldn't listen to the things that they were trying to tell you. They tried to tell you about the coming destruction in 586 B.C. when the Solomon's temple was destroyed. You wouldn't listen, and the temple was destroyed. And here, even in the midst of this, it is similar to the parable that Jesus told a few chapters earlier than this, when Jesus said a householder went away to a far country, and he left the husbandman in charge. And in the midst of that, servants came to collect what was theirs and their part of the thing. And here they are, and the husbandman that was left in charge killed one, and stones another, and kills another. And finally, the master says that surely I've got to send my son, because they will honor and respect him. And when they noticed that it was the son, they said, this is the son, this is the heir. We've got to kill him so that we can get the inheritance. Do you understand what Jesus was saying? Jesus was saying, I speak to you, prophet, as the prophet from Abraham to Malachi. I speak to you over and over again, and you wouldn't listen. And finally, when God had run out of the resources of heaven, he sent the only thing that could redeem this fallen world from sin. He sent Jesus Christ, his son, and they killed him too. They destroyed him and killed him. At least for 3 days, they killed him. And he died on the cross. And Jesus looked up into heaven. And he looked up into the midst of that temple and cried, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long would I have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing? How often would I have wanted to grab you up and to hold you in my arms, and you were not willing? Do you understand? That's all the Lord God of Israel wanted for his people. He wanted them to be their people, to be his people, and he wanted to be their God. And he's saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, because Jesus not only noticed in the text of what I read to you, he not only noticed all the calamity, the lamenting and the crying of Jerusalem, but he also noticed the destruction. And he said, your house is, I know the text's not grounded, but just bear with me just for a moment. He says, I know that your house is left desolate, and there shall not be one stone left upon another. What was he talking about? It will only be a few years after that, in around 70 AD, and the temple and the entire place of Jerusalem would be destroyed. In fact, he says that your house was left desolate. It was obliterated. The entire land of Jerusalem was destroyed. They killed, they raped, they murdered, and then, if that wasn't bad enough, if you'll notice the depiction here in this picture, in this place, they looted the temple of God and took out the holy things of God and carried them and sold them for nothing. And Jesus tried to warn them. In fact, it was bad enough. The emperor at that time was Vespasian. And it was bad when he was the emperor. But then when Titus came in, who was the son of Vespasian, who really led in the siege against Jerusalem. Jesus, in his mind, when he is prophesying all this, he could see the hills that were lined up with crosses, every cross? Do you honestly think that just because Jesus died on the cross, that was the first and the only instance of killing? And that was the Roman way of execution. Can I tell you, when Titus, when he was in charge of the siege of Jerusalem, that there were at least 500 crucifixions a day. And the whole city lay in rubble and in ashes. The entire city. And Jesus said, that your house lay dead. But hold on with me, just bear with me just for a little bit longer. I'll tell you. Watch this. He says, your house is laid desolate. The Roman destruction of Jerusalem and the death toll that was in Jerusalem that day was about 1,300,000 people that died. They either died by being slain or they died because of famine and disease and things that usually happen in the midst of war. 1,300,000 people. That's a lot of people that died in the midst of the Roman destruction of Jerusalem. But when you take that number and you multiply it by 4.5, or at least 5, and you multiply that, then you come up with about 6 million Jews who died in the Holocaust. The Holocaust, the word there meant is to completely burn, to completely obliterate by this crazy man by the name of Adolf Hitler, who had the every intention of wiping the Jews off the face of this earth. And he did it with 6 million, listen, 6 million people died in the Holocaust. 6 million Jewish people. He had every intent of wiping them off the face of the earth. And I believe if he'd have kept on, he'd have come after the Christians and he'd have come after those, because his philosophy was religion makes you weak. 6 million people. In fact, he called it this. He said it was the final solution to the Jewish question. In the midst of the Holocaust, there were human experimentations, and I ain't even going to go into that because I've read some of them, and they're too grotesque to mention in church. Human experimentations. There were concentration or labor camps. There were massacres in the midst of this Holocaust. In fact, they went into a town and in 2 days shot and killed 33,000 people in 2 days. Your house, Jesus said, has left desolate. It is obliterated. 33,000 people in 2 days. And if that was in fact, the commentators will say this about the Holocaust, that wasn't fast enough for Hitler and the Nazis to kill people. 33,000 in 2 days wasn't fast enough. So what they created then was extermination camps, where they would take train loads and cargo loads of people, and they would ship them into an extermination camp. And those that were fit to work would go into the concentration in the labor camp, but those that were weak and poorly and sick and old would go to the extermination camp. In fact, this is a quote from one of the ones that worked at Auschwitz, which was one of the most notorious death camps in Germany. He said, another improvement we made was that we built our gas chambers to accommodate 2,000 people at one time. 2,000 people walked in, they filled the room with gas, and they died just like that. This happened several times a day. Do you understand that the devil has been trying to take out Israel? Please do not misunderstand me. Israel is still God's chosen people. They are still God's chosen people. Don't you ever misunderstand the fact that Israel is still the apple of God's eye. And through the midst of all of this, here they are. And Hitler and the forces of darkness are trying to wipe them off the face of the earth. Now, on the whole front, here's what's happening in 1948. Because here's where it gets a little bit better. In the midst of all of this, they were trying before, and not to Israel, trying to escape Germany before the Nazis rose up into power. They tried to flee from Germany, but when they went into the old Israel, they were met up with Arabs. Anybody remember Arabs? It's been a lifelong generational conflict since the time of who? Ishmael and Isaac. And ever since Ishmael and Isaac, they have hated one another. And here's the thing, that they could not, the territory that God had promised them, it was no longer, in fact, at this point in time in history, it was the possession of Britain. But Britain couldn't do anything with the Arabs and Israel, so they turned it over to the United Nations. And in the midst of it, and in the midst of 1948, blood was shed, and they fought for freedom. And what God said He would do in the Word of God, where I will bring you unto the land in 1948, that's exactly what God did. They were crying out in Ezekiel 36. Go back and look in verses 2. Oh, they were crying out, even the high places, even the ancient high places are ours. God said, I have sent them and dispersed them amongst all the countries that are around them. They were in Germany, they were in Africa, they were in Jordan, they were all over the place. I have dispersed them in all of the land that's around them. I have left them desolate, and they have been scattered amongst the face of the earth. They've been scattered from country to country to country. But how many of you understand that the same God that made a promise 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago is the same God that will keep that promise unto His people? Aren't you thankful for a covenant God? But in the midst of 1948 and in 1956, they still fought for their right to survive. But here's the clincher. In 1967, there was the Six-Day War. There's a reason. Hold on. Just bear with me. There's a reason why I'm going through all this. In 1967, there was what was called the Six-Day War that took place. And the important thing was, in the previous, they did not own Jerusalem. They had not possessed Jerusalem at this time. But in that Six-Day War in 1967, the holy city that was the city of David and the city of God that once belonged to them years and years ago, in this war in 1967, God brought them back and gave them the power and the ability to take back the land. And they took the Gaza City and the West Bank, and more importantly, they took China. But here, more importantly, they took West Bank, because here is Jerusalem. I love what Ezekiel says in chapter 36, down in these verses in 11. I will bring you back and settle you in your old estate. I will put you in your old estate. You used to rejoice in Jerusalem, but guess what, honey? I'm bringing you back into the land, and I'm going to gather you from the four corners of the world and bring you home. And once again, now you've got to understand today, Israel today is giving up portions. And I saw the news. They've been giving up portions of Gaza City and West Bank and everything. When the term of agreement was, when they took it in 1967, they would never give back Jerusalem. Well, can I tell you, God kept His promise. Now, then, look, get with me on this. Pretend you're Ezekiel. Because here God, and in chapter 37 now, God looks at the Holocaust. He says, Jesus is here. The Arab Israeli War in 1948, thousands more die. The conflict in 1956, thousands more die. Here in 1967, they're fighting for their freedom. And though they win Jerusalem, thousands more die. And this is what God says to Ezekiel. He says, Son of man, can these bones live? I've seen the bones. In fact, this is just a cartoon here, but this looks closely to some of the pictures that were taken in the Holocaust. I've seen the bones and the ashes of 6 million of my people. Can these bones live? Ezekiel, I've seen the war and the conflict between Ishmael and Isaac that's still going on even today. Can man. These bones live. I've seen the conflict and the bloodshed as you regathered and got back into. Can these bones live? Jerusalem, Ezekiel said, Lord, only you know. And it said, prophesy, and I saw bone come to bone and flesh and muscle come over those bones. Bless God, Israel is alive today. God gathered together and pulled them out of every country, every land, and said, I'm going to put you in your own states and put you in your own land. I will bring you back. Many Christians who live back in this day thought the Lord was coming again. Oh, this is important. Because here, through the midst of Israel going away, God made room for you. In the midst, Israel being dispersed in every country and land, God made room for you. Go ahead, my brother. You need to understand something. You are here tonight because Israel, for a season, rejected the Messiah. You are not here because of how holy and how pious and how uplifting you are. The only reason that you are here is because Israel rejected their Messiah. You can turn to Romans chapter 11 if you want to. You don't have to. It might help you. This is what Paul said. You need to understand this tonight. About the dry bones, then he had another prophecy. He had a prophecy about the two sticks. Anybody remember that prophecy? He had a prophecy about the two sticks. And one stick was Judah, and one stick was Israel. And at one time, after the kingdom of Solomon, they were separated. Fought all the time, warred all the time, lived abominably and sinfully. But then God said, I'm going to take the one stick named Judah and the other stick named Israel, and I'm going to bring them together, and they're not going to be two separate nations any longer, but they're going to be one people and one nation. Isn't God the one that has done this? That God brought Israel back together again. May I make a side note? I know this is history lesson, but let me make a side note that if God can bring two nations and two separate peoples and make one nation again, surely God can take the mess out of your life and fix it and make you whole again. Somebody give him praise in this house. Every land, I will bring them, I will gather them, I will bring them together, no longer to be two separate entities, but I will bring them together. Paul said it this way. Paul said, for a season, this isn't an olive tree. I know it's not an olive tree. I dug this thing out of the back of my backyard. It's a pine tree, I guess. Looks that way anyway. we're going to pretend it's an olive tree. What God said to Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 11 was that for a season, they have been purified. This is tough. For a season, they have been cut off. They have been cut off and laid down. For a season, Israel has been cut off and laid down and brought down. Still got people. Still got people. But for a season, they have been laid down. Why? There is a technique in horticulture. I've looked at things, I've studied it. There is a technique in horticulture called grafting. It is where you take the part and you trim part of it off and you leave the root system intact and so that you can take a branch from a completely different tree and you can place it and graft it onto here. Do you understand that Paul the Apostle said that I have cut them off for a season so that you're not Jewish, you're not Israel, but so that you, the Gentile people, so that you can be grafted together and get benefits from the root. Who is the root? He, Jesus Christ, is the root of David, the stem and rod of Jesse, the King of Israel, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And for a season, he's cut his people back so that I can be grafted in and live off the root. Say, I come and I take the place of the root. No. He said, I come and I'm. In fact, Paul said it this way, that you being a wild olive tree, a wild olive tree, yet because even though you're wild and you're not descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm still for a season going to cut my people off so that you can be grafted. Now, I don't have time to do it right now, but the technique is this, that you cut a little piece here off the bottom, and you cut a little piece here, and then you tape it together, and believe it or not, nature will take its course, and it will grow together to become. And the fruit that this would have borne now swells up. The fruit that Israel would have borne if it had stayed connected to God is the fruit that I now have through Jesus Christ. God made the covenant. He signed the contract. It was with His blood that I'm grafted in through Christ. God told Abraham, in thee will all the nations of the earth be blessed. In thee will all the countries, in one place he says nations, in another place he says families, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God told Abraham this promise. Now here's the important thing that we need to understand. Israel, that church, the church did not replace Israel. This is called replacement theology. That some people believe it or not, they ain't read the Bibles. Can you believe that some people haven't read their Bibles? Some people will read their Bibles and they'll think, well, Israel's cut off. God ain't got no use for Israel. Let's take Israel and throw her out the door and just get rid of her. No. Paul said it this way. Paul said, no, they've been cut off for a little while so that you can be grafted in with God and with them. But do you understand that I didn't cut the whole thing down? Do you understand? I didn't cut the entire branch down. That even horticulturists will tell you, if you're not careful, that new shoots will grow from the root system that was not tied on. Can I tell you, whoever said God was through with Israel, whoever told you that God was finished with her, because God said, now that I've got you grafted in, I will grow my people and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Somebody give him praise that you're connected.
Misunderstand the history. We misinterpret the scriptures. We have incorrect assumptions. Well, Israel's gone. Now I can get connected in. That's not what God said. I said, I'm going to cut them off. In fact, Paul said it this way, that if God didn't spare Israel, what makes you think he's going to spare you? And if God, now follow what Paul said, same passage. If God was able to grab you in, don't you think the same God can bring back his people? I know I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. He said, the same God that grafted you in is the same God, because he said, thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in that you may partake of the benefits of the root. I said all this because it's an important thing. Number one, you got in because Israel did. They had rejected the Lord for a time. And watch what it says. Go back to Jesus. I'm a swing all the way around. Jesus said it this way. He said, you shall not see me. I said, you said, well, look. You talk to Israel. Israel, you won't see me again. So you said, well, look, Haba. The Shema Romani. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. I don't want to see anybody. There are thousands upon 10,000 of Israel, of Jewish people, that are named in the name of Jesus, Messiah, and our Lord. In other words, when you can see that, then you know I'm coming back. There is a final gathering that takes place between this happening. When Israel starts to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, there is one more gathering that takes place. And the Bible says, and I saw the Lord, he descended. Paul says it this way. He said he descended with a great voice and a shout of an archangel. And I saw the dead in Christ rising up first. And we which were alive were changed, caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And John said it this way. John said, I looked and I saw that there was no one worthy to open the book and loose the scrolls thereof. And I wept much because there was no one to open the book and loose the scrolls thereof. And the angel came to me and he said unto me, fear not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has come, and he has come to open the book. He is worthy. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the scrolls thereof? He is worthy to loose the scrolls thereof. And when I looked, I didn't see a lion, didn't see a bear, didn't see any kind of giant creature. When I looked, I saw a lamb that was slain, and he was slain of the foundation of the world. I looked, and he, the lamb, went to him who had the book, God, and he took the book out of his hand. Then I saw the elders and the 24 elders and the saints of God in the church, and they fell upon their faces and they worshiped and they sang a song of the redeemed, and they sung, thou art worthy to take the book thereof. Why? For you have redeemed us out of every kindred and every tongue and every nation. You have pulled us from heaven. Don't you think just Hezekiah is getting to heaven? He's pulling out of every nation, every tongue, and every place that God is getting.
God, this is not Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way. In fact, if you read your Bible, you know what they were. In Revelation chapter 7, he says, I looked and hurt not the earth and hurt not the plants until they are sealed in their foreheads. And the number of them was 144,000. And they were all of the tribe of where? Israel. And somewhere, and then he goes on and listens, and there was somebody from this tribe, and somebody from that tribe, and somebody from the other tribe. And then, that's Israel. He gathers up the 144,000, the ministers, the evangelists of God, who are the people of Israel. He gathers them, and then he looks, and he begins to look, and he looks a little bit harder, and he starts to see what looks like head after head after head, and people after people after people, and he says it this way, and I looked, and behold, there was a great multitude which no man could number. No man could number. I looked and I tried to count them, and I got lost at a million, and I got lost at 10 million, and I got lost, and I looked, and there was a number which no man could number, and they were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they were clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hand, and they were waving their palm branches just as they did on the triumphal entry, saying, salvation unto our God and to Him who sits upon the throne and upon the earth. Do you understand that verse tonight?
That we worship God and His
word.
Why? Because He is salvation unto our God. For thou hast redeemed them out of every nation. I went to Africa. I went to Asia. I went to the Middle East. I went over to Hawkins Island. I found some. I redeemed them out of every nation. Whoever came up with this philosophy of church, I call it ego, where it's us more and no more. You've got a backwards faith of grace. Because God said, I'm going to bring him out of every nation. And God told Abraham, if we were all the nations of the earth, be blessed. Somebody give him praise.
Hallelujah! In thee, with all the nations of the earth, be blessed. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm thankful tonight that I'm grafted in. I didn't deserve to get in, but I got in anyway. Oh, hallelujah. The enemy wasn't going to let me in, and the church world wasn't going to let me in, but God let me in, and I got in anyway. Thank God I was grafted in. Israel didn't even want me in at some point, but bless God, they were cut off for a little while so I could be grafted into the family.
I said all this because I'm preaching a thing on the end times. That when you see Israel come back to the Lord, you need to watch out and be ready. Because you know sooner that the Lord is coming. Amen. That God has not left his people, but that soon the Lord is coming back.
In a little while, Sister Carla, in a little while, Sunday, in the near future, I'm going to get to Ezekiel 38, 39. And in a little while, I'm going to get to Ezekiel chapter 40, where they saw a great temple. And on the sides of the temple flowed a river. And it wasn't just a river up to my knees. It just wasn't a river up to my ankles or to my knees or to my waist. It was a river to swim in. And the Bible says there was healing in that river. Let me tell you something about it. God is doing the mighty. Oh God, I feel it. them on your side. And the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And he's doing it now. And pulling people together. And getting people right. Oh, that message this morning was to get us right. It was to get us right. God wants to get us ready. Because he's going to do it again. And we are going to see a revival. We are going to see a revival on this earth before the Lord comes back. I believe it with all of my heart. God is going to do a great gathering in this place. And he's still going to do a great gathering in all peoples and countries and nations. And systems. He's going to do a great gathering. And people, I know the Bible says that many are going to fall away. But can I tell you, in the midst of them falling away, God is going to do a great gathering.
Pray that God will bring more people into the land.